to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose. This is the podcast where we come together with real talk about real issues and struggles in life, relationships, and business on purpose. I'm your host, Edna White, and today our guest is Angela Talent, author of Poems from a Lost Soul, a speaker, and podcast host. Welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose, Angela.
Thank you so much, Edna. It's amazing to say that I'm always excited to talk about struggle, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to get out there. So, of course, I introduced you on your book, Poems from a Lost Soul. Tell us about that, because we are interviewing authors this month alone, and we want to talk about being an author, because there's millions of us now. So talk about your book, Poems from a Lost Soul.
Well, what I will do though then is I will read the introduction poem for the audience, because I think it will give some insight into why I wrote the book. This pain, my suffering, sat in a box, carried from place to place until I could face it, process it, accept it, mm-hmm. love it, until it seamlessly assimilated with my heart and I became whole. So that poem mm-hmm. is written about literally the poetry that was carried around in a box in my heart.
Oh, wow.
Some of the poetry was literally carried around in a box for many years. Mm-hmm. The very first poem, not including the introduction, is called A Poem, and I actually wrote it in elementary school.
Oh, wow.
And there are other poems in there talking about, you know, suicidal ideation or the idea of suicide, mm-hmm. loss, unrequited love, joy, looking for God. Mm-hmm. All of those feelings,
right,
that, you know, a lot of times we just want to pack them away and forget they exist and only look for the good feelings, the fun
right.
feelings.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and I have a newer poem that talks about, you know, seeing all of those things and wanting them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get to the pain and suffering, loving the pain and suffering, because that actually gives me what I want.
Right.
By traversing through the mud and the crevices of my life, I can actually find that joy and I can find that love. And I'll never forget the first time I was going through a really big struggle when I thought that I shouldn't have had joy,
mm-hmm.
because I was in the midst of this struggle, and the struggle was so painful, but then I had this joy, and I thought I was betraying my struggle, and that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this time in my life when I learned, oh, I can have both.
Yeah, yeah. I hear what you're saying because your story almost sounds like mine. And audience, you guys know my story, and I had written I want to say 10 books, and I kept them, just kept them under my mattress. And I started writing when I was about 5. And I had them for a long time, just like you. And it's interesting that you talk about struggle because I often talk about that, and I'm glad you're talking about it now. Struggle just means that just what it is. It's just like you're betwixt and between two things that you're troubled with. Like you're almost like, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? Right?
Right. And how do you know?
Yeah.
That's, it's always amazing when someone asks me a question or I ask someone else a question, expecting they're going to have an answer for me, or they ask me, expecting I'm going to have an answer for them. And really investigating, how do I find what the real answer is for me and from my heart and soul and what I need to do? Because my answer for somebody else may not be the right answer for their journey. It may have been the right answer for me.
And it's always the answer for you. I think I appreciate when I struggle with something because that means to tell my butt to sit down somewhere. Sit down and investigate. Okay, why am I feeling like this? And I think I like that because I've learned to understand where confusion, when I feel confused, I sit down because I'm doing too much, When I feel like, what does that mean? Where is this coming from? What am I struggling with? And kind of investigate, like you said, investigate what's going on with me. And I really appreciate that. So I teach my grandkids, when you start to get confused, sit down. Stop what you're doing. Pause. Pause for a moment.
Or even frustrated, I've decided lately that that's my sign that I'm almost to a breakthrough.
Yes, that is so true. When I get frustrated, I was like, okay. And that means for me not to pause, but to fall back a little bit because I'm getting in the way. I'm
Right,
getting
because
in the
something,
way.
because yeah, that frustration, that feeling, and that energy, I feel for me, this a bunch of energy comes up, and it's like, I want to scream in some ways. And then it's like, if I'm just patient enough, all of a sudden my mind figures it out, and it all of a sudden I get it, right? I
It's true.
mean,
It's very true.
it's always a surprise though. It's beautiful. So
It's
I have a
true.
sign.
It's true.
Yeah,
It's
I have a
true.
sign you can't see, but it says, "How will I be surprised today?" Because I might be surprised with frustration or anger or something else, or I could be surprised with joy and love and happiness. None of them inherently wrong. All of them can be surprising. Yeah.
And that's, in some cultures, I know religiously, when as I can speak for myself, you're taught to, that's not supposed to be happening. Just when you get happy, watch out, the devil's gonna kind of come get you, and things are gonna start happening that's really bad. Or, when you get upset, you have to control that. You have to really put it in perspective, and then, you have an imbalanced life after that. You don't know what to do with your emotions. You don't know how to use them appropriately, or you're acting badly. I know that's for me, but I've learned, like you said, when I feel these emotions, like, okay, the fear part comes out, the frustration, I know to sit down and kind of like, okay, work through that. And when I'm feeling joy, it's like, okay, go with that. But I go with it all though. You have to go with it all.
Yeah, you do. You do. I'm thinking of a poem that I remember recording for the audiobook, which is not yet out at recording time. Let me see if I can get to it real quick, and I'll read it. But I'll never forget, just these ideas. So here it goes. It's called Coffee Shop Blues. So many people, so many places to go. No one wants to. Everyone hide, talk all the same. Hate thy neighbor, hate thy friend. No use, no fun, all horror. Men, no feeling. What's logic? Women, all feeling. What's emotion? Who knows? He asks, she cries, he denies. It's all lies.
Oh my gosh. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But like that anger, you know, like,
yeah.
It's like, embrace. I would not have gotten there if I didn't embrace that emotion, though.
Right.
And so I think, like, in today's society, and like you were saying, in some religions, what happens is there's this idea or this story that happens even in society,
mm-hmm.
that the emotions that are seen as bad, instead of just dysregulating or maybe not helpful, but they are helpful.
Right.
They're literally seen as bad. Like, I'm not supposed to have that emotion. However, that emotion might be telling me, oh, there's a lie happening.
Right.
Oh, a need is not being met.
Right.
Oh, something's happening. And I need to love it in a way that I can hear what it's trying to tell me.
Right.
And not push it down and say, you know what, I'm not supposed to be having you.
Right.
Therefore, you have no value. And it just injures me later.
Right. It does. It injures us mentally, in our soul, and in our body. It sticks somewhere in there. Then you feel old, you get sick a lot. I know, let me tell you, ignoring my emotions for so many years, I literally never had asthma in my entire life. Why did I wait till I was in my 30s to obtain asthma? Why? It doesn't make any sense, right? It didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, where did I get this from? Where did it? I never had a problem before. I was getting skin rashes, never had them before, because I remember the times I was holding everything in and being the strong lady and being this, you know, the superwoman and not taking care of myself, taking care of everybody else. And I was falling apart, falling apart.
Yeah. And a lot of people, this is something else I work on too, is I work with people on breathing. We think we're breathing.
Mm-hmm. And we're not.
And we're either not breathing or we're over breathing. And in some cases, asthma can be an over breathing problem.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to an inflammatory problem, other things. But it's always fascinating to me to think about that, how much our breath and our emotion help us, you know, how much our breath can help us in understanding our emotions.
Yes.
And if we can notice how we're breathing, sometimes first I might notice, oh, I'm holding my breath.
Right.
And then I might go, oh, I'm really worried about this. Other times I might notice a tensing in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I need to start breathing.
Right.
I have a chronic pain. I have a complex regional pain syndrome, which has deformed my hands and limited the distance I can walk. And the way I breathe and the way I think actually helps me process.
And mm-hmm.
one of the best little mantras that I found is from Byron Katie, and it is, to be in pain and think I'm not supposed to be, that is hell.
And wow,
I think
sure
that
is.
Can be applied to emotional pain. And I know it can be applied to physical pain,
mm-hmm.
and for me, I've applied it to emotional pain too.
Yeah.
To think I'm not supposed to be there, that's, now I'm struggling against it, that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree totally. I totally agree. So, the audience can't see you, but audience, I'm looking out for you guys. I'm looking out for you. I'm looking out for you. So, Angela has this intriguing shirt, very intriguing shirt that says, and she's going to lift it. It says relatively damaged. And I know that's part of, that saying is part of your podcast, right?
It is. It is. It's relatively damaged by damaged parents. And underneath it is, in the logo, is a picture, right? A picture of people. All different types of people with differing abilities, and it's mm-hmm. a silhouette, and it's in rainbow.
Ah.
Because it was really important to me that, you know, it doesn't matter our capacity,
mm-hmm.
we're all valuable, and every single one of us, you know, when I look out from the perspective of someone with a disability, and I used to look at people who had physical ability that I wanted, and be angry. Mm-hmm. And now I'm realizing that there's a story inside of them that I don't know. And I'm confident that everyone that I see has been damaged mm-hmm. in some way mm-hmm. or struggled in some way, because I think that's why we're here on this earth.
Absolutely.
Struggle.
Yep.
So we have to have some damage.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I always say that I think we're stars that came down here, you know, said, okay, I want to come down here and feel what the struggle is, you know, and really conquer it. That's really the job, is to conquer it, like to, got this, you know, and live and then live abundantly, live great, like have a great time doing it. You know, I think that's what we are here for. And we're not. It's no like gift amongst wherever it is. We are the gift. Really, we're the gift. So yeah, I like that.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. We are the gift, and the gift is the full human experience. Yeah, the full not just human. Part of it.
Nope, the full experience, without having to worry about putting up any what do you call it? You know, any rights or any what do they call them when you have to do something to get something? What is that?
Like there's a cost.
Yeah, a cost affected. You don't have to do this in order to get this later on. You know, there's none of that.
Yeah, bargaining.
Yes, no bargaining going on. There's nothing. It's living the life fully, and taking responsibility. And you know, I know I heard someone say that once you do something, you got major consequences, and I was like, huh? So I know there's some consequences, but I said no, because you can do something, realize that, oh, I did that. That's the wrong thing. I shouldn't have done this, but let me see how your response matters. How you are responsible during that time changes the whole outlook of what happened. It changes it. Right.
And how do I know? Mm-hmm. Even if there's the consequences that I don't like,
right?
How do I know that wasn't the exact path that I needed to take?
There you go. And we were told, like you said in that poem, lies. Like, and I know you've probably heard this, like, you know, when you have a child and you weren't ready or whatever the case may be, you know, I'm not talking about a small child, but I'm talking about, like, you say you're 19, 20, whatever. Oh, I had a child. You know, God didn't bless you with a child. It was a mistake. And I'm going, I don't get that. I just don't get that. How is it a mistake? It had to happen. There's a reason why it has happened. You know, now it's my chance, my opportunity to kind of, now I'm going to have to work with that responsibility. I'm going to have to make that consequence into another gift, you know, it's all a miracle, you know.
And how do we love people through their struggle when it's not something that we think that they should be doing?
Yeah.
And I would say it's not my job to decide what they're doing. My only job is to love.
Yep. Yes, it is. And that is a four-letter word without compromise, without negotiations. It's just that. It's simple. When I learned to do that, I was like, wow, it's such a heavy load off my shoulders. Just to love people. I love people in general. And I love to, you know, see the different, you know, the different faces, the eyes. I just love the beauty of people. And I'll say things. I'll be up walking with my daughter and she cracks up. And I'll say, I see a nice couple or something. And I was like, oh, mom. And she'll say, I say, oh, Christina, you think those, that couple's really cute? She goes, there they are. And then I'll go, you look amazing. And they like, it's like the best thing someone ever could have said to them. And my daughter's like, mom, you always talk to everybody. I say, that's love. That's loving somebody I don't even know. I don't even know them, but I see the beauty in them, you know, the beauty in those people. So that's what love is really is. It's just seeing the beauty in somebody, regardless of who they are, and looking past anything that these eyes can see.
Yeah. I'll never forget a friend of mine challenging the idea that, you know, what if you're looking out from your own eyes at yourself, mm-hmm. And I had been thinking about that, and we went to the grocery store, and I looked at, and I saw this person, and my ego popped in,
right,
my mind, and is like judging that person.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the soul part or the heart part of me came up and was like, wait, that's part of you. And I was like, all of a sudden, I was like, how beautiful they are.
Right.
How do I know someone hasn't looked at me like that before?
Right.
And I don't like to even admit to it, right, that that's what happened. But that is what happened. And it's actually part of being human. Like,
exactly.
We make these judgments. And it's so much easier now when I look out and go, oh, what's coming up for me? Am I worried about how I'm looking?
Yeah.
That I'm judging someone else so harshly? You know, like that comparing is not really helpful. And it certainly doesn't help me feel better about myself.
No.
If anything, it makes me feel worse about myself when I start comparing, even if it's a judgment that, oh, I look nicer today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still don't feel good about that because it's like trying to get love, right?
Yeah.
You know, if when you're giving love, there's this, it feels almost, it's so abundant in like to infinity.
I'm
not thinking of the right word, but it's very abundant. Now, if like, even just look around and try to get love from something and notice what happens in that feeling. It's like, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And that's what I think I'm doing when I'm judging. It's like, I'm trying to get something and it's just not.
Oh, yeah.
Because love is meant for giving.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. I like that. Love is meant for giving. Well, audience, you've heard that. I like that. So you guys go and hashtag love is forgiving. I like it. Love it. So now that we talked about a little bit about your book, I want to talk about your podcast because I really like the name. But tell us what your podcast is about and what it brings out for people and your audience.
Thanks. Well, Relatively Damaged really talks about exactly what we're talking about, a little bit like exactly what we're talking about today, struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit more focused on the trauma or the injury and the journey. You know, so what happened? So for instance, my hands don't work. So maybe my story would be talking about what happened when I lost the use of my hands.
Gotcha.
How did I keep going? What were the steps that I was able to take?
Mm-hmm.
Were there some hellish points along the way? And what did I do when I was in those places so that I could keep moving forward instead of, you know, choose things like suicide or, you know, I mean, I spent a lot of time really struggling. And then at the end, generally, there's three tips or tools on how to deal with how to keep moving forward, you know, whether a lot of times I've heard breathing, I've heard journaling, I've heard self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many, I can't even name them all right now. I'm trying to think. There's just so much
because,
and every story has a little different insight. I've talked to a couple people with food addictions. I've talked to people with sexual challenges. I've talked to people with from the LGBTQ community. I talked to a coming out coach, which is I had expressed to her that I had said to one of my kids, hey, if you're that way, it's okay, I love you anyway.
Yeah.
And she said, well, maybe you don't, maybe not anyway, maybe you just love them. Because when you say anyway, you take away, you imply something was wrong before.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, we posted it. I got called out right there. I thought it was beautiful. You know, and so those are the types of things, like the real life hellish moments that we go through where we think we're never going to make it again.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So what were some of your moments when, as you're writing your book, what challenges did you have?
Well, so without my hands working, some of the big challenges were I tried to do it before I had my disability. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was very emotional to investigate some of this poetry, and it became too much, and I don't think I was ready. Uh-huh. And then my caregivers about 2 years ago started helping type them into the computer. Mm-hmm. And they were actually reading my poetry because I knew that we were getting close. I needed to do something with it, but I couldn't do anything with it because I have sensitivity to paper with my disability. It feels like when I touch it, it's like that feeling of running fingers down the chalkboard.
Oh, boy.
So they were typing it in, and maybe that's where I got some of that courage, and maybe that was part of the journey that was meant to be too, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're typing it in, and they're telling me that it's beautiful.
Right.
And I'm thinking, this is really vulnerable. I'm mm-hmm. sharing, you know, I'm sharing this, and they're impressed. And so that helped. I was super lucky to find people along the way that cheered me on. They knew my disability. They knew that I was on limited income. And mm-hmm. they were like, you know what, let me help show you how to do this.
Right.
So that you can be successful. I really ended up having to surround myself with emotionally safe people and mm-hmm. people who could cheer me on, and we could support each other.
Right.
Other than just me, you know, getting, because I want to give to people. That's one of the important things about people with disabilities, I think, that a lot of people don't know, is like, we want to participate. Mm-hmm. So don't think we don't. It's just we're not given the opportunity.
Right.
Which, quite frankly, you know, CMS guidelines, so Medicare and Medi-Cal guidelines say that, or Medicaid, say that they can only help with, you know, five things. So depending on the company you're with, mm-hmm. they could say, well, we're not going to help you be human. We're just going to help you with the bare minimum.
Right.
And I had to go find a company that would help me be human and mm-hmm. help me do the things that I needed help with my hands. Otherwise, I would just be sitting here. Yeah. Like most people say, oh, they're just sitting home collecting a check. Well, I need help. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is that dynamic that a lot of people aren't really aware of.
Right. There's a lot of things that we're not aware of, and sensitivity. And it goes back to not judging someone, because you don't know where what they went through or what they're going through, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and there were plenty of years where I could not have done. I mean, it was hard enough just to live as I was getting used to having chronic pain. I mean, there's a whole transitional process that someone has to go through. Lots of counseling, lots of therapy, lots of doctor's appointments, you know, and the doing just barely functioning in life was pretty much all I could do.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. So what would you tell someone who's considering writing a book or feels like they have a book inside of them? What would you tell them? You know, what would you say to them and encourage them to do?
Even if it feels like that one small thing you do today is not going to help you get to your goal, do it. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Because it does.
Yeah.
Those little things add up over time. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's like putting money in the bank account that's going to accrue interest, you know, and it's compounding interest. It's not simple interest. So over time, those little steps compound. And you've got it. You know, this book, much of it was written, gosh, even probably 20 years ago. It just mm-hmm. wasn't compiled and put together and typed in, you know, and there are some new poems in there and new insights and different things like that. But it's really important to know sometimes it might take 20 or 40. I mean, you know, I guess if I include the time from the time I wrote that first poem, it mm-hmm. took me probably 40 years, right?
Wow. So, yeah.
so that's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the journey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It just is.
It just is. And we're not all going at the same pace. So, you know, it just is not the same. But Where can we find you if we want to get in your podcast, if we want to, you to be our speaker, or we just want your book? How can we find you? Share that information with us.
Sure. Go to damagedparents.com and everything is there.
Okay.
You can go under the tab poetry, or you can look at the Relatively Damaged podcast and see all the past interviews.
Oh, nice.
If you just want to listen to the podcast, it's on many, many platforms, definitely Apple and Spotify. I think even Amazon and iHeart Radio, mm-hmm. or to name a few.
Right. Nice. Well, Angela, we really thank you for being here. Audience, you heard that all we have to look up is damaged parents. What'd you say?
Yep.
Damagedparents.com. So, that's all you have to do is find her there and hop on and listen to her podcast. And we really do thank you for being here, Angela. We thank you for taking part of this and being on the show today. And with that being said, we're going to say goodbye for now. And thank you, audience, for coming and seeing and listening to us, because you could be anywhere else, but you're here with us today. Thank you very much. And thank you, my guest, Angela Talent.
Thank you.
And we're
going to
say goodbye for now. Bye now.
I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts are not only beautiful, but useful every single day. And Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. And their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. Spice Village transforms everyday spices into inspired memories filled with warmth and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lennox.com/spicevillage.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.